And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
We're doing okay. Trying to brighten up the, you know, not do Blair Witch Project today, although I appreciated the jokes yesterday, folks.
Some good tweets.
They were funny.
Yesterday about it, too.
There were good stuff. There were.
Very good stuff.
Yes.
Ian Safar, how we
good
doing?
Good movie.
Yeah. Ian, how we doing?
Good morning. Doing great, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to a fantastic Thursday. How about it? A little chilly out there, though.
It was.
So, you know, make sure you have your jacket handy. Tricky weather, you know, cool in the morning, sun comes out, nice during the afternoon. So, you know, prepare accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, get up in the morning, it's like 43. So I'm like, well, let's put on a lot of long sleeve, pants, all these things. And then I go do other things in the afternoon. And it's like, oh, it's like 77 and I'm burning up out here. Good stuff. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit. It can fool you both ways, but you know, I mean, I'll take whatever. I'm in a very much colder place right now,
you
so
are.
You know, like it might get to 48 today for a high. So
oh, good.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
fun. Glad people live there.
I'll take. Yeah, yeah. I know. I don't know what they're thinking, but they do.
We got a lot going on in the program today. Andrew Brunette will be with us at 7:30. The Preds are back in action tonight, taking on Vancouver. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock from Yahoo Sports, and we'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. The best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. But, Joe, we begin a decision finally made by Tony Vitello, and he will become the next manager of the San Francisco Giants. So not necessarily a surprising end result to all this. The process took a little longer to get there, but Tony Vitello gone from Tennessee and will be the next manager of the San Francisco Giants. Frank Anderson has been named the interim manager the interim head coach by Danny White, and now a coaching search beginning for Tennessee baseball, with a lot of Tennessee fans hoping that the coaching search basically ends up with Elander being the coach at the end of the day. But we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But Joe, now that it's official, what do you make of Vitello to the Giants and what this means for him and the opportunity of now him going to Major League Baseball, where there were conflicting reports yesterday, by the way? You know, Bob Nightingale and others were throwing it out there that he took a pay cut, and then Chris Lowe was like, no, he took a significant pay raise to go to the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, yeah, and others who cover it. Mike Wilson was on that too. Like, yeah, no, guys, he did not. That really surprised me. Like, Bob Nightingale's a really good, you know, he's been covering MLB forever. And so, you know, when I saw that, I was like, what? Really? Because that's not the information that I was getting, like, from our people, you know, who cover MLB. And then, yeah, Chris Lowe kind of dunks on it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, look, I think you could still, I guess, make the case. It's you know, it's a Major League Baseball managerial job, and so if you do well, then, you know, you can bump it up. But yeah, like, it didn't really make sense that it would be a pay cut, especially because, you know, when you consider the difference in cost of living from Knoxville to San Fran, I mean, the pay raise is still going to have limitations depending on how much it is. But it's a crazy story. But, you know, it's like, even like writing a column about it, by the end of it, I was like, you know, actually, this could work. But at first, it's like, that's stupid. What? I mean, I like, really, you could make the case, like, he would be like the last college coach you would think would do this, you know, or be of interest, just because of like how you think of Major League. Well, first of all, like, no one ever does this, right? Like, there's some conflicting things on that, but basically, I guess, Dick Houser, I guess, went from Florida State to the Yankees. Someone put that out there yesterday.
I'll take your word
like
for it.
Like in the 70s, but basically this doesn't happen, especially when you've had no pro experience. And he just, his demeanor and just he's a college guy, right? To me, and even in college baseball, they're like, dude, you're a little too much for this stuff, bro. You know, so now he's going to take it to MLB. But you think about it, and it's like, I mean, yes, there's older guys. It's not all kids. It's a different situation. Recruiting's not part of it, so that strength of his doesn't really matter. But I mean, he obviously must be pretty good, like with baseball coaching and with building a locker room, yep. right? And getting, I mean, and look, there's a lot of Vols, and again, Drew Gilbert is, I think, was an important figure in this whole thing with getting Tennessee. So don't be mad at him too, Vols fans. But it's quite a story. It's quite a stunner. But also, I mean, I can't wait to see it, you know, and I could see him. I could see him being a success there. All the guy does is win.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Max Scherzer, who has a relationship with Vitello, was talking to Ken Rosenthal, and he was talking about, you know, the intensity and all these things and thinks that it's going to work in Major League Baseball. And one of the things he says was, like, communication skills. He says he makes it relatable. He's a player's guy, makes you want to run through a brick wall for him, and he was perfect for me when I was in college, and they worked together, obviously, when Scherzer was at Missouri there. So that's a pretty big voice in Major League Baseball, who, by the way, is getting ready for another World Series, that thinks that Tony Vitello is going to do a good job in San Francisco. I'm really interested to see how it goes. Like, you know, obviously, he's a really, really good program builder and college baseball coach. What's that going to look like in Major League Baseball? I'll say this, like, you know, as a Tennessee fan who was, you know, obviously, you know, casually following their baseball, I will probably now casually follow San Francisco Giants baseball. Like, I don't know that I'm going to be sitting up there watching, you know, the late game of the Giants playing at night, but I will be at least be very interested in what they're doing, which for me personally is probably more than I could say about any other baseball team in Major League Baseball right now. So
there you go.
Am I a Giants fan? I wouldn't say that, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So I'm a Warriors fan, and now you can be a Giants fan, and
sure.
But I guess Ian, if you want to be a Niners fan, there you go. We can, you know, we can talk about
Sharks.
San Fran sports
like
we talk about. Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. I'm not a big Shanahan guy. Seems like kind of a jerk.
Ian's out. He's not doing it. Joe just tried to mute himself and then unmuted and sneezed into the microphone. We're off to a great start on the program this morning.
Yeah, that was great. Great job by me. The Shanahan thing threw me off.
Boy. Right into the mic. Ah, chew! Just beautiful.
Sorry.
No, it was
about
good.
That.
I think it was worth it. It was the greatest thing that's happened on the show so far.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
What were
so
we talking
anyway,
about? Tony Vitello?
Yeah. Tony Vitello. Yeah. So tough for Vols fans for sure. You know, I think we've talked about it many times and talked to him about it. You know, I think that he, as far as just a personality for Tennessee fans, you know, I mean, the guy just, Tennessee fans just love the guy. And yes, of course, it has a lot to do with just winning like he did, but also guy's hilarious, you know. I mean he made it fun, friend of the show. You know, I was going through some of the old stuff with him, and it's like, good God, I mean, that thing, you know, the 7-minute opening statement he had, like I guess it was after they beat Evansville to get to the College World Series, right? Yeah. Like Noah Webster. I mean, I was like, what are you talking about, buddy? It was the weirdest thing.
I swear I'm not on drugs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just good stuff, man. Good stuff. So I know it's tough for Tennessee fans. But, you know, look, he has, I mean, think about it. Like, baseball was just a non-entity.
Yeah. I think we've lost Rex Road for a second. So on that front, 615-737.
And now it's on Tennessee to, you know, to continue that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Vitello to the Giants. Where does Tennessee go from here? And do fans want Danny White fired? How many of them? We'll get into all that coming up next. Spicy on Vol Twitter. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Tony Vitello to the Giants. And that leaves an opening for Tennessee baseball. So, Joe, let's start there. Where do you think things go from here on the Tennessee baseball front? You know, it's not, you know, necessarily a great time to be looking for a coach. Doesn't typically happen in mid to late October when it comes to looking for a baseball coach. So what do you make of that part of it? And then we will get to the Danny White part of this after that, because there's a certain subsection of Tennessee fans that are very mad at him. So where do you think Tennessee baseball goes from here?
Well, I think Josh Elander makes sense. I know some people talk about Frank Anderson, the pitching coach. That's not going to happen. He doesn't want to do it. He won't do it. So, yeah, I mean, Frank Anderson has been a head coach. In fact, I don't know. I guess Frank Anderson, it would be huge for Tennessee if they could keep him, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. So it's like, I think Josh Elander makes sense. I think he's the next up and coming guy on the staff. You maintain the program. Huge thing, though, is to keep Frank Anderson. Frank Anderson was a huge coup for Tony when he got the job. And of course, Frank Anderson has been the Oklahoma State head coach in the past. He hates media. He hates doing media. I did do one interview with him once. It was like, oh my God, you were actually going to talk? No way, dude. And he was great, but he doesn't like to deal with that crap. He just likes to coach players. And it's a huge deal if they're going to keep Elander. That could be good, but you got to keep Frank. And I mean, he's up. I don't know his exact age right off the top of my head. I'll find it here. But you know, that's a big thing. I think if you can do that, and if Frank will stay on, then I think you can keep this rolling. And I think that's the way to do it. But there are other. Someone texted me last night about a very prominent college baseball coach who apparently wants the job.
Schilling wants it, apparently.
Apparently Curt Schilling wants the job too. So
he follows me on Twitter. I'll DM him. See what he's gonna do to build the program.
Oh, that's right. He follows you, doesn't he?
Very interested in the Predators lines. He'll message me every now and then. Who's playing tonight?
Okay. So where does he live?
I don't know. I think at one point it was here, but I don't know that.
So Frank Anderson, 66. I'm trying to think, like, we got Curt Schilling. I mean, I'm just wondering if he lives out my way. You know, we got Curt Schilling. We got Rex Ryan. We got Rex Ryan, you know, and we know how he enjoys feet. Curt Schilling has the bloody feet. I mean, my God, we got all kinds of stuff going on.
I have a foot thing.
Look, you could go out and probably potentially lure another head coach from another place. I think that how often does it work, you know, that a prominent program in college sports loses a really, really successful coach, and then like the top assistant steps in and it works?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Like, you know, Elander specifically, very good recruiter. That's what all the buzz is out of Knoxville. He's right. Really good on the recruiting front. So if you're looking to kind of keep things rolling that way, like, that's probably the way I go. If I was Danny White, I probably wouldn't overthink this. Like, you can go try to make some big splash hire in mid to late October and see how that works for you, and I guess try to lure somebody away. But I would probably just go with what you've got right now and see how he does as head coach. And maybe, you know, maybe 2-3 years down the road, you need to reevaluate at that point. I have no idea. That's probably where I would start. You know, I mentioned Danny White. There's some Vols fans that are really mad at him. And Joe, I think a lot of it, I mean, you know, there's all the women's basketball stuff, and he was at his press conference yesterday basically talking about, he's like, everybody needs to make an apology to Kim Caldwell right now. Who's reporting all this? Like, everyone, make an apology to Kim Caldwell. There's that stuff. Honestly, Joe, my read on the fan base part of this, a lot of people who are upset with Danny White right now, the conversation eventually kind of all goes back to the same thing. and that is the talent fee and how much it costs now to go to games all over the place over there. That's where I think the genesis of this anger kind of really starts, with the subsection of Tennessee fans that are really mad at Danny White and want to see him go.
That's interesting. I get that. That's interesting, though. I guess I wouldn't have realized that. I think some just look, some Tennessee fans. I had someone slacked me last night. They're like, so do Tennessee fans actually think that like the Tennessee baseball job is as good as the San Francisco Giants job in baseball? And I'm like, well, you know, look, college baseball is big out here. Like, a lot of the country doesn't understand how much people care about college baseball. You know, I mean, I think there's some people in MLB in the last few days who've been like, what the hell is happening here?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, man, like these people care.
Like, are there people making fake San Francisco Giant accounts out here? What's going on?
the anger, first of all, the Danny White thing, that was kind of ridiculous. It's like, well, it was a rumor, so someone must have reported it. It's like, really?
You met your fan base?
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, that must be it, Danny. Yes, all stupid rumors must have originated with an actual report. What? I mean, and again, look, obviously, if anybody's like mad at Kim Caldwell or whatever, and I'm sure there's stuff on the message boards that have like totally made up some scenario where people are screaming at each other, right? But like, look, I still absolutely believe that it makes it tougher at the play. I mean, people got mad yesterday about this, but I mean, I'm sorry, it's a reality that these coaches at all these programs at times are like fighting for resources, and it's more than ever now because of the resources include paying the players. I mean, like anybody getting mad at Kim Caldwell, or that's stupid, mad at Danny White. I mean, again, I think when it really comes down to it, man, like, how do you turn down the San Francisco Giants? Yeah. You know, like, and what are you going to give him? Like, are you just going to give him, I mean,
you pay him $6 million.
Yeah, he's already the second highest paid guy. I mean, $3 million is they gave him a ton. And the stadium, look at the transformation of that place and everything. So, at some point it's kind of, and I really think that's what it came down to here. I know there's a lot of back and forth, like, okay, well, this booster's going to get with him and be like, well, what can we do? But ultimately, it's the San Francisco Giants. It's a chance to be an MLB. And as you said the other day, if it doesn't work out, he will be someone's head coach in college baseball the snap of a finger. I mean, people will be clamoring to get him back.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Tennessee, we've talked about this before. It's a gigantic fan base. When you have a big fan base like that, you're going to find pretty much every opinion there is to find out there when it comes to this stuff. And it's no different at Ohio State. No, it's like all these big schools, these big public schools that have giant fan bases, there is some crazy stuff that goes on out there. Now, Vol Twitter may be its own special thing. Like, it's a special place, as you know. I will say the fans that are like the combo this week of let's fire Danny White and Josh Heupel, you probably need to dial it back a little bit. Like, I mean, let's remember what all is going on here. I understand that Danny White, and this is, you can be mad at Danny White about this if you want, and it's your money, so you can be mad at whoever you want to be mad at, but that's just the reality of college sports right now. Like, all these athletic directors are trying to get as much money into their programs as possible because it's basically an arms race with money. So, like the talent fee, all these things, as long as people will pay it, they're going to do it. So that's what it is when it comes to the athletic director part of it. And on the hypo front, I don't think this is a very, very large portion of the Tennessee fan base. But, he has been getting some heat this week after losing to Alabama. And it's like, all right, guys, they've lost two games. They're still in the conversation for the college football playoff. Go look at Heupel's entire tenure of what he's done here to this point. He is not close, nor should he be close, to being on the hot seat.
No question. Yeah, and look, doesn't mean that people can't be mad at the performance.
Sure.
Or at some of, we've talked about his clock management. I mean, it's not perfect. Like, it's fine to be upset, but everything doesn't have to go from zero to fired. You know, I feel like more than ever in college football, people go from zero to fired. I mean, it's all over the country. And again, in some cases, it's like Luke Fickle, Wisconsin. It's early, but you know, I mean, I can't argue with that. And we saw what happened with James Franklin. But again, James Franklin, that was years and years of not getting over the hump, and then all of a sudden you kind of collapse. And you know, it wasn't as sudden as I think it kind of seemed. I mean, with Josh Heupel, I mean, yeah. Again, you have to keep in context like what he inherited and what Tennessee has been through. And yeah, at some point, like you need to see the next steps. But I actually think this year, and we'll see how it goes. But overall, this year, I mean, it looks better than I thought it was going to look this year. You know, I mean, Alabama's really good. Like Alabama. As crazy as it is, after the first game against Florida State, like they might be as good as anyone now.
Yeah. By the way, apparently Kurt Schilling lives in Fairview, so shout out to Kurt Schilling, local resident.
Okay, Fairview. There you go. Not a bad little commute to Knoxville. Get out there, get the get the infield going, right?
Yeah.
You know,
hop on
get
the interstate,
guys going.
Stop at the Buc-ee's sure. And go play some ball. That's what you can do. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. We'll go ahead and take those on our text line. I got a question this week for Rex Road coming up next that when it comes to the college game and the pro game should be a no-brainer, but I don't think that it is. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. The best and worst things in sports. Coming up later this hour at 6:45, we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I got a question for you. And you look at it on the surface, and it's college football compared to the NFL. So the natural response, I think, for most people would be, well, it's the NFL, man. Like, you know, any given Sunday, we see quote-unquote upsets in the NFL all the time because everybody's professional and, you know, every team's good. We hear that all the time from players around the league. It's the NFL, man. Every team's good out here. Having said that, Titans are 14.5 point underdogs to the Indianapolis Colts this week on the road. 14.5, which is just a huge line in the NFL. A huge line. And we're going to get into this later, but you know, Jeff Simmons is week to week. Legarius Sneed is, quote, going to miss some time. So Lord knows what that means. You know, it's shaping up to be a real special Sunday for the Titans coming up on Sunday. And on the other hand, you've got Tennessee traveling to Kentucky to take on the Wildcats, who, to their credit, they took Texas to overtime last weekend, almost got the win. I don't know if that says more about Kentucky or says more about Texas, but we'll see. You know, Tennessee opened as a 9.5-point favorite on the road against Kentucky. It is now down to 7.5. So some of the money coming in on Kentucky. If you know the history of that, Joe, I mean, Tennessee, for whatever reason, has just totally dominated Kentucky throughout their history. I mean, totally.
Mostly because Kentucky's cheeks,
well,
right?
Mostly that. So, and, you know, Kentucky hasn't won an SEC game this year. They're not very good. I have no idea what they're going to do, but it looks like the end is near for Mark Stoops here when it comes to all that as well. So you got all that in the backdrop. So my question to you is pretty simple this week. What do you think is more likely, the Titans beating the Colts or the Kentucky Wildcats taking down Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Vols this week?
Yeah, I love this question. Great idea. To me, it's easy. It's Kentucky. Kentucky.
Jeez, what does that tell you?
I know. But, like, Kentucky, again, I watched a pretty good chunk of, you know, I watched the second half and overtime of Kentucky Texas last week, and look, some of it just comes down to like Arch, holy cow, it's just not good. It's the accuracy, the consistency, man, they're just not there. But still, Kentucky plays D. They play D. They're tough. They're physical. You know, they gave Ole Miss a tough game. I mean, they've had some stinkers too, but their defense keeps them in games. Now, again, it hasn't really mattered much with this Tennessee offense. Even bad versions of the Tennessee offense, you know, in the last couple of years have pretty much had their way with Kentucky. So I don't like Kentucky's chances at all to beat the Vols. But, I mean, even though it's the NFL, like, the Colts are seriously good.
I know.
They're seriously good. Like, their offense is, I mean, it really is amazing how much fun we made of them for all this stuff, including, you know, Daniel Jones and everything. And it's like, man, you know, they've kind of quietly, they have drafted like a lot of guys who are good players. Like, they don't have stars on offense, but they have a lot of guys who can play, excuse me, who can make play. And then Jonathan Taylor is a star. If he's healthy, he's, I don't think people talk enough about him in terms of the best backs in the NFL. So I just think they're going to absolutely blow the doors off the Titans Sunday. Like, I don't see another way around that. And again, like, usually in the NFL, even if there's a perceived mismatch, you have to, you know, the team you think might get smoked, like, they've got talent. They've got, yeah, it's the NFL. No, this is a blowout. 14.5 is too small.
This is a, I'm not going to say we're going to quote unquote find out a lot about Tennessee in this game. But the circumstances heading into it, like, this is a game where Tennessee really needs to go out there and handle their business. Like, you got Oklahoma coming in next week, which we know is going to be a massive game. So I guess there could be, you know, is there a fear of a trap game walking into this? I mean, it is a rivalry game, all those things. You know, Tennessee, you feel good about their offense. Tennessee has scored 309 points this year, which is the most in the SEC. As we know, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the country. Kentucky has put up 135. Like, their offense is bad. They got a bad offense. Tennessee's defense has struggled this year, but you would figure that this is a matchup. If there's a matchup in the SEC where Tennessee's defense should look pretty good, it's probably this one. Like, they need to go out there and look pretty good. So it's interesting to me that the money's coming in on Kentucky a little bit, right? Like I mentioned, 9.5 to open, and now it's down to 7.5. We'll see where that line ends up by the time Saturday comes around. But I would think, specifically defensively for Tennessee, this should be a matchup where they thrive, getting after the quarterback. They were better at stopping the run last week against Alabama. They just didn't get, you know, totally gashed like they did the week before. So I'm very interested to see how their defense comes out in this game. You're right, Kentucky has played well defensively. I think Tennessee's offense still should be able to put up a pretty good amount of points in this game.
Yeah, and I'm assuming just maybe Kentucky played so well against Texas. You know, Tennessee didn't look great. Maybe that just has something to do with some people, you know, betting on Kentucky to cover here, but I'm with you. This is defensively, this is a get right game for Tennessee. And there's just really no reason that Kentucky should hit 20 points in this game. That should not happen. And you know, there's also even with Kentucky's defense, I mean, I still expect Tennessee to get into the 30s. You know, maybe more like 31 this, or even, you know, 28 to 31, something like that. But no, I think that they should handle business. And if it gets to be, excuse me, to a close game, to a fourth quarter game, I mean, that's a little bit alarming, frankly.
Multiple people pointing out Kentucky would beat the Titans. Ed asking the third option, is it more likely Kentucky would beat the Titans on Sunday? So I guess we could throw that out there. Is Kentucky ready to compete with the Tennessee Titans? I don't think so on that front. But it is a sad commentary. Like, walking into an NFL game, again, a 14.5 point spread in the NFL is a large one. And Corey Curtis said this the other day, and the more I look at the matchup and who's going to be out for the Titans, the more I kind of agree. Like, Corey was like, yeah, you could put that line at 21, and I would still probably take it. Like that's just where things kind of feel like they're headed with Titans and Colts this week.
Yeah, and sometimes the NFL, you think that, and you know, again, you're reminded that it's the NFL.
Right,
this happens. I can't see it. You know, I just can't see it. I mean, I think like the Titans, if they execute, I mean, again, these teams played a, you know, it was relatively competitive. If the Titans execute, I think that they could do some things offensively. against the Colts. Like, that's possible. It's when you like the Titans offensive matchup better going into a game, that tells you something. But like, I don't like it's, you take now you take, I mean, week to week is Simmons and then Snead is out for a while. So like if Simmons is week to week, first of all, boy, every week that he's out, good luck.
I'd start Jonathan Taylor this week if you got him.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But then, like, so Snead, I guess, like, does that mean he's out, like, just for the? I bet you we don't see Snead play another snap for the Titans.
I would agree.
But I mean, their defense. I don't see. I know that Sweat's back, so that helps some. But it does not replace what Simmons was doing for this defense. And like we've talked about, Cody Barton, he's probably one of the. I mean, probably just because I thought based on like the preseason and stuff, it was going to be a good ad. And it's not like he's been just completely terrible, but it's been disappointing. You know, there's just other than Gray out there. And, you know, you do have like Ward is getting a little bit of pass rush juice going. You know, Draymond Jones every once in a while. But I mean, it's just I think it's just going to be like, I mean, I think the Colts are going to get into the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely is on the table. What do you, real quick on the Mark Stoops front, where do you think this is all heading with him at Kentucky?
That's a good question. I think, you know, Kentucky fans are out on him, I think, largely. So, yeah, you know, again, it's a big number. I don't remember. I don't have the number available. It's a big number. No, buyout wise, in terms of firing him. So and he has, you know, he's flirted with other jobs, Texas A&M. Other job, other people have been interested in him, but I know that like John Summerall, obviously is Kentucky player. He's one of the hot names, not just for like Kentucky, but for a lot of programs that his name is out there. And so there's this, like, we can't let some other program hire John Summerall when it should be us hiring John Summerall, you know? So there's that element to it also. So I kind of feel like this is going to be it. It's just a question of, are they actually going to fire him?
Right.
I mean, he's done. Yeah. You know, like, again, it's like you got to have the context on what he's done and what he took over and what that program has been, you know, for most of time. It's pretty remarkable what he's done, but also like the program does not have momentum at all right now.
It's the time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That is coming up next. Vandy fans, it's time to party, baby. Commodores are ranked in the top 10, and ESPN's College Game Day coming to Nashville. And to celebrate, 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live tomorrow from noon to 6 at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. Plus, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri this Saturday. So come on out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown tomorrow from noon to 6. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. The best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with the best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, well, my best is the NBA. It's been pretty awesome immediately, but specifically, did you see Victor Wembanyama last night?
Yeah, he's pretty freaky.
You can see, like, he actually now has actually he put a little bit of weight on the upper body. I mean, that drive on the baseline to a reverse dunk, I don't know that I've seen anyone who can do that ever in basketball. He goes for 40 and 15. He's out there throwing shots and then going out there crossing people over, hitting three at the other. I tell you what, man, it is. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch him.
Only one assist. Very selfish.
Ah, there you go. Good point. Good point. They blow out the Mavs on the road. And by the way, Cooper Flagg in his debut, 10 points, 10 rebounds. Cooper Flagg is going to be a good player. But like the people who think like Cooper Flagg is like, he's not like he was an amazing, you know, 1 year college player. He's going to be a good NBA player. He's not going to be like some superstar. I don't know why people have thought that. And again, I'm not sitting here saying based on one game that, but it just, I really, he's going to be a good player. Victor Wembanyama, like, watch out, man. It is crazy, the combination of everything that he has. But the NBA, great start. Dubs look good. That's my best. My worst is Vitello. You know, good for him. Good for the Giants. Good for Major League Baseball. It's going to be fun. But I feel bad for Tennessee fans. And also for us, the Vanderbilt-Tennessee thing, it's still going to be a rivalry. But that he brought so much to that and made it so must see, right? And again, it's not like he and Tim Corbin were like actively barking at each other or anything, but it was just such a great contrast of, you know, personalities,
yeah,
and such a great rivalry. And, you know, I assume Vanderbilt fans are not sad to see him go, but you got to be a little sad, right? That we're not going to get any more Vitello Corbin.
You know, Tim Corbin did tell Adam Sparks that he was happy for Tony Vitello.
I saw that.
Happy for him.
I saw that.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that was via text. Was that
Sparks or Aria? I think it was Aria.
Okay.
And Sparks.
Well, Sparks tweeted. Sparks is the tweet I saw. So.
Yeah.
Bad job by me. Sorry.
That's okay.
Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
To piggyback off of Joe, a little bit of the NBA, but specifically, just the fact we get to hear this music now.
Here we go.
Again. Little NBA on NBC action. I know, that brings me back to the glory days of the 90s. Just to have this back on the regular basis.
I love Tirico, by the way.
So, I do like Tirico. Yeah. I'm interested to hear more on some NBA play-by-play. But I do like Tirico. Class guy. Grew up down the street from my dad, actually, in Queens. Yeah. Believe it or not. Doing good. Best for sure. Worst, I got a couple here. One, Woody Johnson and the Jets, and it's just absolute clown show, which, of course, but his comments and the whole Justin Fields and the quarterback situation, like,
did not hold back.
Just, you know, get out of here already, man. You want to know?
Catch me up. Give me a quick, because I missed it.
He basically, in defending Aaron Glenn, was like, yeah, Justin Fields sucks.
it's hard. He's pretty much right. Was like, oh, it's hard on your head coach when your quarterback can't complete a pass.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. You know.
Not necessarily wrong, but not something you see an owner do very often.
What you want to do there. And then this whole, I heard a clip of Saban on game day from DVD. His hate for Vandy is a little over the top.
He doesn't like Vanderbilt. There's
this
no
whole like complete disrespect of Vandy on college game day and saying, "Oh, I can't buy into the fact that these guys are actually relevant and they're not a doormat like they used to be in Vandy." I cannot wrap my head around that. There's no way LSU's going to get back on track. You know, Saban's a hater, so he's on my worst list this week.
There you go. Have some, Saban.
Wow. Well, I missed that too.
How we think that's going to go this week? Saban going to get booed out there college game day? A lot of disrespect he's thrown.
Yeah, it is, especially like even like what last year, right? Whatever he said about the stadium. What did he say? He was just like, yeah. I mean, again,
he said everywhere is a tough place to play except Vanderbilt,
right? Yeah. I think they should get after him.
I think so too.
Get after him, Doris fans.
My best thing in sports is Shane Beamer being exposed as a fraud for the world to see. It's a beautiful thing this year. South Carolina 3-4 overall. And Joe, let me just read off their next three games here. Home against Alabama, on the road against Ole Miss, on the road at Texas A&M. Boy, do they have some more losses coming here. It's going to be beautiful. They're probably not making a bowl game this year. You know, at the end of the year, we're going to be treated to Clemson and South Carolina. And I don't know, either one of them going to be bowl eligible. I'm sure that Clemson will probably find a way to get to six wins at least. But think about the conversation on that game heading into the year and then ultimately where it's going to end up. You know, Shane Beamer's already basically crying after the post-game media sessions now. Can't wait to see how it goes the next 3 weeks, and you hate to see it so far. Shane Beamer being exposed as an absolute fraud. My best thing in sports right now. Show your thoughts.
That is absolutely beautiful. That's fantastic. You know, First of all, I'm the moron who picked Penn State to win it all. Okay, so, but also I don't know if we talked about it, but I've actively going into the year was like, dude, South Carolina Clemson this year, like it is going to be epic, man. You're talking about a title contender for sure in Clemson, and then I think a playoff team for sure in South Carolina, right? Are there going to be a fringe player? That is a monster game, and it's actually like as buns as that game gets. Amazing.
My worst thing
and
in
I know
sports,
you're loving it.
Oh, yeah, I really hate to see it. My worst thing in sports, the Nashville Predators power play, which is converting currently at 8.3%. Now, I will give the caveat here. We're 7 games into an 82-game and what will one day be an 84-game NHL season. So there's still a lot of time here. A lot of time left to be, fixing things and working on things, tinkering things. You know, who knows? Maybe tonight the power play goes out there and scores a couple goals. But right now, it's awful. 8.3%, dead last in the league. So the worst thing in sports, the Nashville Predators power play. It has got to get better. And we will talk with Andrew Burnett later in the show at 7:30, and I'm sure that will come up. So we'll get his thoughts on all that. Real quick, let's roll through the text line. Zach says, best thing, the NBA on NBC broadcast. Also, he gives the Predators power play a vote for worst things in sports. Brian says, my best is Vols fans that are throwing a fit because their coach left for a much better job. He said, my worst would be the Titans, but I'm over them at this point, so it's the Preds. Looking like we're heading for another miserable season.
Yeah, I know. It's starting to, you know, just the struggles to put the puck in the net, man. And again, it's like, we need if we're going to have a bad team in this town, can we have a bad team that just has a terrible defense?
Yeah.
But also still scores.
That would
be my wish.
We got another Brian on the text line says best is all 4 major sports playing at the same time and the weather change. I mean, the 4 major sports playing at the same time. Great stuff. Says the worst, Joe Tessitore used to be a good announcer with his delivery, but now he's calling a 3-yard run like it was a Hail Mary with 0.3 seconds left. We've talked about this before. Look, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure that he does a good job. I can't stand it. Like, I can't listen when Tessitore is calling the game. Like, it's way too over the top.
Yeah, he puts it on a little thick, you know? It's like, just save some of that, man. Like, it's like the boy who cried wolf. If you're always – everything is always – then nothing is that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's like legitimate, like a 4-yard run. It's like, wow, look at the explosion on that play. It's like, well, you get 4 yards. Okay, awesome. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans. The injury report is out from Wednesday, an update from Mike McCoy that does not look like it spells very good news for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all that and more. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.